Dieter and Jake were live on Sunday night, and it's all over, baby. It's all over. It's, yeah,
I think that's fair.
Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times, blowing fourth quarter leads to divisional foes. Shame on the 49ers. I mean, will they even get a fourth shot, or does it even matter anymore, Jake?
I think the nature of the season is that they will keep getting endless chances and make it so that technically they're never eliminated and all that stuff. And so we have to, I mean, I think we are both done pretending.
Yeah.
That this is actually going to be something, but I think theoretically, math wise, they're going to be alive for a while. And so it's going to be a particularly annoying season.
It would be fine if they were some scrappy up and coming team that,
like the Seahawks?
Yeah, or just a team that didn't have serious expectations. But when you run a team back on the express intention of winning the Super Bowl, and now you're 5-5 and have lost three games in the division in the worst ways imaginable, cool, you made the playoffs. Like, I can't take you seriously. They're an unserious team. And I know a lot of folks are, you know, saying, oh, Super Bowl hangover. I get it. Woodpit 420, legend. Like, I get it. Yes, hangover. Ain't new.
I think it's to me, it's like just a physical hangover more than anything. These guys have been at it for years and years and years. And
we 20 games every year for the last 4 years.
It's a lot of games. It's a lot
especially,
of games.
Especially to the nature of, like, the final five of those.
And a very physical team, right? That like sort of relies on that identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you lose, yeah, there's the emotional part. I think we saw red flags from the jump in this offseason.
Big time.
But, I mean, I think just physically, these guys are worn down. You've got, I mean, I listed the injuries. And you've got Ayuk out for the year, Javon Hargrave out for the year. You got Kittle not playing, who Dieter basically was like, you called him, I think, the most valuable guy on offense.
Well, we'll get to ass taps and helmet taps later.
Right.
An ass tap is a attaboy, and a helmet tap is a you'll get them next time. And sure. That's when we get to celebrate our takes and chastise each other for bad ones.
That's great. But there's so many guys who are hurt. Like Trent Williams said, he was playing on a 65-70% ankle. But like, and you can, you know, I think there's a desire to be like, oh, well, we were hurt. Like, you know, when Ayuk went down in that game against the Chiefs, it's like, oh, well, we had an injury, you know, and they did have like Debo and Jennings, and it was insane. That one was fair. I think they still botched it regardless. But when you get to a certain point of injuries, it's like your team is old. Your team is old.
Yeah.
You've been through this a lot. It wears down. And even if your team isn't old, you're just not executing at any level that's respectable to pretend that you're going to be a contender, even if you had half those guys healthy.
That's what bothers me most about this team. Like, okay, they're old and they're slow, and that's not a new thing. We thought that maybe as the season progressed, maybe they'd ramp into it. Okay, well, we're at week 12 now, ladies and gentlemen. They have not ramped into it. And when you're old and experienced and slow and underperforming, conceptually, and I can only say conceptually because it hasn't actualized, conceptually, you are a team that does the little things right in order to win football games, except the Niners do none of those things right either. Special teams are an abject disaster. I do think that this gets glossed over in the conversation, like the defense failed, the offense had 17 points. Like, those are bad things. I don't think anyone's going to talk about Pat O'Donnell's punt.
Dude, let's talk about it. It's terrible.
Unbelievably bad. There was no one back to return for Seattle.
I am dead serious. I think most punters in the league would have done a better job.
If you're an NFL caliber punter, which I guess Pat O'Donnell was not until literally today, then you should be able to drop the ball and somewhere within 10 yards have it bounce up so that somebody can get underneath it. And if the coverage team fucks it up, the coverage team fucks it
up.
But he...
Drop it at the 20. Drop it at the 20 and let it bounce.
Three, and ricocheted 100 miles per hour out the back of the end zone. Not right. even a shot for
and,
anyone
and
to
I
get
know
on the
guys
other
are
end of it.
Coming, but just like pooch punt that son of a gun and just get it out. Just let it roll.
No one was close.
Listen,
it was a horrendous punt. And
listen,
that's,
I know
it's these little things that add up. Yeah. Kyle missing both of his challenges. Like, I get that they were close calls, but you lost on both of them. Okay,
yeah.
That didn't happen. You kick a kick return. You're like, yo, right back at you, buddy. Now that you don't get burned for that. You have bad penalties. You have errors in communication on it's all these little things that are noticeable and the reason that a lot of games have been close. But when you don't have a Kittle, when you have an injured Trent Williams, when Nick Bosa's not out there in the final two drives, now you have a talent deficient. Now you're on everybody's level if you weren't already. And now those little things are massive, absolutely massive. So I just, everyone's going to say like, oh, why didn't the defense stop him? Fair question. Needs to be asked, needs to be evaluated. But also, what the fuck was Pat O'Donnell doing? And you know, one and done, I guess, in his game as a 49er.
It's on the offense, man. To me, like the defense, like I thought they did a pretty good job for the most part. It's tough. I think you look back to one of the most defining drives is right the start of the second half. Geno throws a absolutely horrendous interception that Yadam easily picks off. Oh. By the way, if he cut it left, he might house it. But he runs to the sideline, whatever. You're juiced up, whatever. But so they get the ball. I think it's inside the 30, right? They get it deep in Seahawks territory. And then they go, it's a 7-play, 12-yard drive where you start off, you get a 9-yard McCaffrey run, terrible play action, and you barely get it on 3rd and 1. Fine. Mm-hmm. Then Purdy scrambles, hold. Then illegal formation. And now it's 1st and 25.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You could say, all right, okay, that's just a bad series, unfortunate. But they do this so goddamn often. That's just who they are. They do it constantly when they get in those situations.
Yeah.
And you have to expect it. And so now you're 1st and 25. Purdy takes a check down to CMC, probably instead of Jennings, who would have had a bigger play. Doesn't matter. Purdy takes a super dangerous scramble next play, gets clocked for like a 3-yard run. And then 3rd and 15, you get a check down and you take a 33-yard field goal. And then the Seahawks respond with a touchdown. They responded with a touchdown, but only because Jennings like put the entire team on his back.
That's right. Not and just then, the third. I mean, that third down, I legitimately started writing a column being like turning point of the season. Because
100%.
He was 3 yards short of the stick and he had literally four Seahawks hacks, either a Chicago accent or a Freudian slip. He had four Seahawks trying to pull him on down there and he just dragged him right over the line. And I started writing it legitimately because I'm like, wow, they got ahead and it's Geno Smith on the other end. And you know, what's going to happen here is that Juwan Jennings is going to turn in the 2021 Debo, the 2022 McCaffrey, and that they're just going to ride this horse all the way to the finish line. That lasted for 3 minutes.
Well, technically, you are right. They did ride it to the finish line, and the finish line has arrived.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Juwan was great. I thought Bosa was great.
Yeah.
I thought Mustafa was great.
I thought Gross Matos
nice,
was pretty good.
Nice game for Gross Matos. You know
best
what?
Floyd
say
game
it.
Of the season by far.
Floyd was really good. He was. Now, Seattle's offensive line is very bad, but credit to Floyd. He had a very big game. Had a very big game. So, I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do, and it's already beginning in the comments. We love the people commenting, but like, it's on Kyle. Okay. Every loss is always on the head coach. That goes without saying, to the point where we're not going to say it. If you want Kyle fired, you need to come up with something more concrete. Then they lost football game. You need to have something that has some explanation as to your point. Because just where does the buck stop? We must get rid of him. I just it's lazy. If I felt at any point as here's the criticism I'll give on Kyle today. One, it seemed like he did most of his creative work in trying to figure out ways not to play his backup tight ends. Like, that's not great. That's not ideal.
More out there.
You know how we kept two other tight ends on our active roster? What can we do to never play them?
Never use it. Why are they on the team if you're just going to refuse to play them? I guess special teams, like, you know.
Correct. Why bother? What are they doing on special teams? I haven't noticed them. I'm sure Tom just is a blocker on something, but like, if you can't replace that on the fly, you're a really shitty general manager and football team. So
I think where you can blame Kyle, if you want to blame Kyle at any spot, go to the end of the game where they could have put it away, right?
Yeah.
306 remaining. You get a first down run for McCaffrey. Then you get a defensive holding. 306 remaining, you're at like midfield. And then you need one first down, maybe two. One first down at least.
They got a first down on a penalty.
Right. So this is after that. If you get one more, it's not over, but the Seahawks are out of timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you can burn the clock. You can work it down. So you go pitch left towards Eric Saubert and Jalen Moore, who, like the Disgusting Brothers, who for anyone who follows.
No, we know. If they don't know, don't make them look it up.
Right. They combine for, you know, a dreadful combo. I don't know if Saubert's supposed to get off. It doesn't matter. The Seahawks have a numbers advantage anyway, but something positive could have happened. Instead, you got a loss of one.
Yeah.
Then it's the play action. Purdy throws to Debo. It's a really high ball. I think he was trying to avoid Ernest Jones, who is underneath and actually had an angle. It's hard on the TV copy to see, but on the replay, Jones actually, if Purdy throws it flat, Jones can probably make a play on it. So I think he's trying to layer it over and throws it high. And realistically, he should just make it a second window throw because he has enough time to do that. Easier said than done. Bad throw. Right. Bad throw. But I think that's what he's trying to do.
This is too Debo. It's not. It was a bad look. I will say that was a bad play with a bad throw.
Right. Right. And so that's your second and 11 play. And then
third and 11.
Third and 11. You got pressure coming. Trent doesn't pick up his guy. And Witherspoon's coming at Christian McCaffrey on the right. And all of a sudden,
can you
collapsed.
Can you fucking believe that somebody blitzed on third down against the San Francisco 49ers who refused to shift protections?
Hey, I will say I thought their protections were better in this game, but like in that one, you just didn't execute it that well and the pocket collapses and Purdy has to throw to Jennings.
No, I get it. He has to throw. He can't. It's that or he spins around 42 times and hopes that someone can win on scramble drill, which by the way has happened like twice all year spectacularly, but really twice all year. So
also did Ricky Pearsall have a target?
He had one target to my recollection and he got absolutely walloped.
Two targets,
triple coverage,
zero catches.
Now listen, Seattle does not have a good defense, but they got a hell of a secondary and a very well mean intention from the 49ers perspective defensive coordinator. And I thought Mafe actually had a brilliant game for them.
That one series he had.
It was all Mafe, baby.
He didn't force the sack. I heard the Seattle beat writers that are like, Mafe got the sack. And they're all like, shut up. It's like,
Seattle has exceptional beat writers, but shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So Mafe got a pressure and then had two like pass breakups. I don't even know where to move this next because there's so many fundamental issues with this team that we've pointed out over time and are just adding up.
They're not a good football team. Like I don't know how to express this because everything is so tinged and everyone is so generally triggered and it's all these expectations. Okay. Remove all of it. We said this now a couple of times this year. If you were to remove the context of the San Francisco 49ers, NFC champions, team that's consistently in the run, if you were to play that game and just go in blank and watch some of this film, The film with Kansas City standing out most of all. Today's film standing out in a big way. You would say this team sucks.
Yes. No question.
That's what you would say. Kansas City was worse than this one, to be fair. But you would say that this team sucks. What's the evidence that they don't? One quarter against the Cowboys, beating the Jets?
That's the outlier. Dieter, you know what their winning their record is? The teams they've beat, the combined record of the teams they beat is 18-35.
Wow.
The Seahawks are the best team that they beat this season, and they are 5-5.
And they won on a Thursday night by the...
Correct.
Hair.
And I just want to mention this one comment I have pinned because, listen, yeah. I like the offensive linemen in that room. They're great to talk to. I think they're good guys.
Yeah.
But it's not a good offensive line. Like, nope. Banks never had a brutal game. He's had a bad season. I really like Aaron Banks. He's not playing well. Jake Brendel.
Jake, you don't have to sugarcoat it. He was an absolute butthole today.
It was really bad.
Awful. He was awful. And
Brendel had a couple really bad plays, too.
And he was awful, too. Pooney did not have a good game. It should be noted. I think that everyone's out here trying to... Listen, it comes across as personal because it comes across strong, okay?
Right.
I'm just going off of what I'm watching. This has nothing to do with these people on a personal level. It has nothing to do... This is not some... I could have been one angst from me.
Right.
It is simply... objective takeaways to best of my objectivity, objective takeaways of what I watch. And there is not a single offensive lineman who can hold their head up high after that performance today. Cause it's not only that they were poor in pass protection, which is typical. And in fact, to the point where you're like, actually, I think it's been a little bit better. Fair enough. Okay. Doesn't mean it's
run
good.
Blocking.
The run blocking was bad today. Now I will also say this.
Yeah.
The run blocking was bad, and so was Christian McCaffrey, because there were some holes. Christian McCaffrey could not get to them. He had used up all of the turbo button, shout out to the old school gamers, before he got to the hole. It was very on Christian McCaffrey.
Did you listen to his post-game presser?
Just sent me a photo of his midlife crisis fit.
I can't. Look, it's a... look up the fit, but McCaffrey's presser, it was very weird. His vibe was essentially like, I'm not right. And then someone's like, well, are you right? He's like, well, I am, but I'm not. And I don't feel like myself. And sometimes I do, but I got to get there and I got to be better. But also, yeah, I'm not totally right. And I don't totally feel like myself. It was weird.
And I get that. And you know what? I get that. He's two games in, he's coming in cold. I understand that. Right. I don't expect him to look like himself. I expect a little bit more juice. Maybe the flip side of this is, you know, we remember what happened with Brandon Ayuk. What was it, week 7, where Kittle?
Yeah.
And maybe this is revisionist history. Kittle's like, he was just getting going. He was just coming into his prime. Well, then he tears his ACL and a bunch of other ligaments, which is tragic. No one wanted to see that happen. But the idea that, like, he was just coming into it, well, that was a month and a half into the goddamn year.
Yeah.
Like, is it, if it takes that long, the Niners are already done.
One area I will take some Kyle criticism, and I know it's like an easy thing because everybody always wants more of the backup running back. That's just like a classic thing. But like, you, at the start of this season, before the whole McCaffrey injury thing, he said McCaffrey basically had too many touches. We want to take some of the load off of him.
That's right.
Very rational. Very, I think, reasonable approach. And I was impressed because that's not a very Kyle thing to say. And then you watch Garendo, who has a breakout game. You have Mason, who until he had the shoulder thing, was a star getting, I think he was second in the NFL in rushing yards over expected. And you don't use those
guys. He would break a tackle every goddamn run.
You don't use those guys at all when Mason's physical. He wears on a defense. Garendo, who I think, again, stretch runs, I think is the best option you have for those. And I know it's difficult to say, let's just put him in for a stretch run. Maybe it dictates to the defense. That's what they're going to do. But, like, you're not using those guys at all. And McCaffrey's admitting he's not, like, himself. And even if he is, you should have more of a rotation. And that fundamentally, I think, is just like, well, Christian's good at everything, so we keep him in. And I just don't really get it why you don't have a little bit more of a rotation. I'm not saying 50-50. I'm saying 80-20. Like,
totally unacceptable when you see how McCaffrey ran today and then you see how Mason ran today. And again, no one is suggesting that Mason gets the same amount of carries or even 50% of the carries of a Christian McCaffrey. But when you see Mason out there and it's like, oh, that looks pretty good for his two runs, right. 13 yards, 6.5 a clip.
Right.
Keep doing that because McCaffrey doesn't have it. And maybe, yeah. we want to get him back. Well, maybe it's not coming all the way back today. And maybe you need to win a goddamn football game. And the beauty of having Mason is you go, oh, well, we overused Mason and now he's all banged up. Well, now you're never going to overuse him again because you're overusing somebody else.
Yeah.
And you're not even using Garendo, which you have a problem with. I'm not as upset about, frankly.
I get it. He's a rookie. You don't trust him as much. I just think he's got a different sort of pace to him.
Today was a slobber knocker game, right? It was clear from the get-go that nothing was coming open way down the field. It was just going to be a grinded out, mucky, cloudy, gloomy affair. Everyone had a cold. Everyone hadn't seen the sun. These guys are from Seattle. They haven't seen the sun in months. They're surprised the sun has still not gone down. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, it was going to be an ugly divisional football game. Okay. Accept that fate and use the personnel that you have to better play that style of game. Right. How do you not want Jordan Mason for more than two carries in a game like that? How do you not want to wait until he fails to take him out of the game?
He
That's
ran
a classic
twice.
Kyle move.
Once for eight, one for five.
Classic, like, Kyle is, this is working. Let me take it away before they stop it. I'll be one step ahead. No, buddy, you're one step behind, or two or three, because the defense hasn't adjusted and you're just playing these war games in your head. Fucking do it until it doesn't work anymore. Run power again.
And I think part of the frustration I think everyone has with Kyle is when you ask a question that's even sort of just curious, what is this? Why have you considered this? It's so dismissive of, I already considered this and I know what the answer is. I'm sure you did. Please explain it, because it's actually informative and important to, like, share a little bit of your thought process so people know you considered something. And maybe that doesn't matter because he has the job security, but Jesus.
Well, that job security should not be there. Let's be clear about that. No one in the NFL should feel like they have tenure, right? This isn't Kirk Ferentz. Shout out to your Iowa take on Thursday, Friday. Like, no one in the NFL should feel as if they're more than one bad season away from getting fired. Because if that's the case, you got bad ownership. Because this is a total results business, and the results are not there compared to the expectations. Which, by the way, Kyle and John and Jed and everybody built those up. That wasn't external. In fact, externally, I think we were all saying, I don't know about that. And they're like, we could do it. We're
like,
best.
You guys didn't have a single practice in training camp.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, what I don't, going back to your great point on Kyle there, like, okay, you want to be dismissive. You want to be flippant about the whole thing. Okay. That's fine. You are clearly smarter at football than the rest of us peons. There's a little thing that they do to go into the, you know, steal the academia line again, especially now, apparently, in this age of AI and ChatGPT and doing homework. It's a little thing that I learned in fifth grade algebra. It's called show your work. You got the answer? That's great. Show your work. I need to know that you know how you got there. Kyle Shanahan has to answer to somebody about how he got to that point. We can't say one way or another whether it was right or wrong, but he needs to start showing his work instead of being so dismissive towards the concept of someone questioning his genius. Because let me tell you right now, he doesn't look like a fucking genius. He looks like the coach of a 5-5 football team whose arrow is pointing directly down despite all of these big-time players. Despite all of this talent, a lot of which is on the sidelines and a lot of which is washed up. Don't get me wrong. But this guy put all of his chips into the middle of the table for this year. It's gone like shit. He hasn't been able to pull them out of their tailspin. They have no juice. This game was boring until it got interesting, and it got interesting for all the wrong reasons. This is a bad football team, and Kyle Shanahan can't be flippant and dismissive when someone asks, why do you suck? Show me the work as to why you got to the point that you got to, and then maybe we can give you some benefit of the doubt, because right now, I'm presuming you're choosing bad options.
Yeah, and I think there are... There's a lot of things that you can pick on, and I know it's he thinks we have ulterior motives and are trying to do gotcha, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I am trying to do gotcha. I'm trying to figure out the goddamn answer to why he did a thing.
Right, right. And it's fundamentally like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to solve? What are you trying to attack? And every year it's felt like there's been a clear evolution of the scheme. And when the 49ers are at their best, or not even necessarily at their best, but at their medium, there is, oh, I'm trying to set something up. Like how many times, you know, where you run outside zone and boot action stuff and you set up a leak, which there's a lot of variations of that. Just calling leak one thing is oversimplifying it. But it was always building to something. And with this, very rarely it feels like there is a cohesive build to some, and you open with that great drive where it's a grinder drive and you try and stick to that, and I respect that. I also think if you're going to do that, mix in your other running backs, whatever. But the Seahawks also had a good plan for their play action, and I think Purdy was under pressure immediately on multiple times where they ran play action. They got the touchdown off of one boot action.
That's right.
But a lot of the time Purdy had a guy immediately in his face, and it was like, okay, Seattle, you're trying to go with a similar game plan as the last time you faced them, and Seattle was prepared for it. So what is your counter? It didn't feel like there was one, or because, as usual, the run game's not, like, effective, you get into these third and mediums or third and longs, and it's like, all right, throw the ball to Juwan.
That's really what, I mean, if we want to you know, give Kyle benefit of the doubt here, which he doesn't deserve at this moment, but let's maybe narrow it down a little bit more. Okay, McCaffrey's not running the way that he used to, right? There's no possibility of explosion from McCaffrey on those runs. So that limits you. Two, Deebo Samuel, thanks to 49ers red zone, this is the correct phrasing, Deebo Samuel is toast. I don't understand how anyone could be watching Deebo Samuel and thinking, this guy still got it. We all knew the ball game was going to be fairly short-lived, that at some point the toll was going to have to be paid for using Deebo Samuel like a battering ram for three straight seasons. I get it. Deebo's been paid handsomely. He'll be a legend in San Francisco for the rest of his life. I got no problems with his football life and his legacy and how it all went down. Boy is cooked. He is done. He looks like he is running while holding something between them cheeks. It is a problem, because when you don't have that, and it's very interesting now, Kyle doesn't have that nuclear weapon in McCaffrey because McCaffrey can't run the ball as well as he used to. And maybe that comes, maybe it doesn't, but you're going to have to find out the hard way there. He doesn't have Deebo, the changeup. So he doesn't have his fastball. He doesn't have his changeup. And so what? He's just out here throwing slider after slider. It's kind of jarring how lame Kyle's offense becomes when he doesn't feel like he has versatile weapons. I mean, he even got lamer when Juice came out because they couldn't shift him. Look at this offense without George Kittle. Dude. How many points was that worth today? Five? Seven? It is impressive how lame the 49ers offense looks when you don't have the super team around. And I'll say this, I don't even think Purdy played that poorly. I don't think he played well, but I don't think he played poorly either. And that interception was some really bad luck. Was it a good throw? No. Should a big man be jumping up in the air and catching it like that? Also, no. But I'm happy in my soul that I saw it, because that just, it warms the cockles of my broken heart. It's the exact opposite of the game that I wanted to see from the Niners. When I came in, I wanted to see 100%. B plus from every phase. I don't need A's. I just need everyone to do their job. Maybe unspectacularly, but everyone do your job. Special teams, go out there and have a clean game. Don't even have to do anything cool. Just go out there and have a clean game. Defense, go out there and have a clean game, which you can argue they only gave up 20 points. Maybe they did. I'd argue against that, but here we are. And then offense, just go out there and be solid. Give me 375 yards, 350 yards of total offense. Be good on, you know, get half of your third downs. Just go out there and give me an old, honest college try. And every single unit came in with, like, we got a C for you. Did we pass? Huh?
Yeah, I think one thing, to go back to Kyle, when there is an absence, it's like the whole thing shuts down.
Right.
And I think with some of the other coaches around the league, they are better at saying, this guy's out, we're going to have an alternative. But like, you go into a game like this and you say, oh, Kittle's out, that's going to be big. And you go, oh, the offense shuts down. And I'm not saying there's a way to replace George Kittle. Eric Saubert was bad. You know, we loved him in that first game of the season, but he's been pretty bad, I think, the rest of the year.
Agreed.
I'm just saying there's not a lot of changeup. There's not a lot of, we don't have this, let's adapt. And it feels like this is our foundation. We're sticking to it, or we're going to limit what we do to be this specific, to focus on just these guys, but not saying, let's throw a different wrinkle in this. And I know that's an oversimplification.
No.
But I do think when they are missing any sort of personnel, they're really poor at adjusting for it. You look at any game they've ever had without Debo, the record is putrid.
Yes.
Like, and I know that's hard to replace. It's hard to
maybe that's players. What's happening right now. They don't have Debo. I know he's actually out there.
But genuinely, when you look, you're right. When you look at every single Debo sweep, he stops his feet because it's like he's not going to drive forward. And usually he used to be able to cut in, and it's just not there. It's really not there.
It's like he's smuggling something. He just looks slow. He looks slow.
He does look slow.
This whole team.
Everybody. Yeah. It feels like every. Yeah.
They're in a bad spot. The locker room after the game, we've been in a lot of losing locker rooms. We've been in losing locker rooms when the season was over, right? And this one had for a 5-5 team, this had an exceptionally dour feel.
Really?
Like, I thought it was going to be, like, not great. They lost. They lost in embarrassing fashion at home. Like, those are never good. This one was, if I didn't know better, I would say that was a week 18 pack it up.
It was energy. It was, yeah. And after losing games, and part of that's, you know, like, Kittle's the guy that's usually like, oh, you know, we pick it up and we move on. But it was really like you saw everyone trying to figure out what are we doing? What are we like? Let's figure it out. And they just missed the window to figure it out. Like, these two games, Buccaneers and Seattle, was like, all right, let's get things humming. It doesn't have to be humming. It has to be slightly improved. And then you go into Green Bay and maybe you steal one and lose to Buffalo. You just split one of them. But, you know.
I'm not going to believe it. I'm just not. I need to see a very good football game from them. And yeah, I just have a hard time imagining that in my mind right now. And, you know, Jesus M coming in, and we love Jesus M. Don't get me wrong. Like, NFC is not particularly very good. Okay. Let's just take that for what it is. I would like to note that the Vikings are 8-2. The Packers are 7-3. The Eagles are 8-2. And the Lions are 9-1. So record-wise.
Packers, by the way, should have lost, but guess how they won? Special teams.
Yeah.
Blocked a field goal.
What they did, they realized they were the worst team in special teams. They found out the hard way there. And then they went out and hired somebody who is an exceptional special teams coordinator. And get this, now they're good at special teams. It's really wild how that works sometimes. This is a team that has the same record as the Rams and the Seahawks. They're one game above the Bucs, but hey, they got that tiebreaker. That's great. They have one more win than the Bears and one more win than the Saints. I mean,
right.
I understand that there is a world in which the Niners, who are, you know, plus 28 net points, come out and find a way to make the playoffs. I understand that that's possible. If they win in Green Bay, I'm sure there'll be a bunch of people jumping on the bandwagon. If they win in Buffalo, maybe I jump on the bandwagon, exclusive to whatever happens in Green Bay. I get that. I understand that people are holding out some hope. I can't tell you that it's impossible.
Yeah.
I watch the Lions and the Eagles and the Vikings. Well, we've seen them play the Vikings, the Commanders even, and we'll see on the Packers here. But I watch any of those teams, maybe even the Cardinals, maybe, jury's still out. I watch any of those teams and I go, oh, that's a better team than the Niners. I think so little of the Eagles and their head coach and their offensive coordinator. I would take them neutral field -3.5 over the 49ers. Without a doubt in my mind right now.
Their defense is humming. Vic Fangio's got that thing
And they have Saquon Barkley and two great wide receivers. Yep. And I'm not the biggest, Jalen Hurts guy, but he's a good quarterback. Like, it doesn't matter where he and Brock rank. They're both quality guys. They have Goddard, who's a hell of a... They have one of the great offensive lines in football. You know who has the best offensive line in football? The team that's 9-1 and is up 159 points on their opponents in the Lions. Do I think the Lions have a good defense? Not particularly, if I'm being honest, especially not with Hutchinson. Okay, I know Za'Darius Smith went in there. That doesn't do much for me. On what planet are the 49ers beating the Lions this year?
No.
They barely beat them last year.
That's what I wrote. Listen, that's what I wrote in my thing is like, okay, sure. Yeah, like maybe, you know? Maybe they lose to like both of Green Bay and Buffalo and Detroit. Like maybe they lose to all three of those and then they win every single other game. They beat the Bears and the Rams and Dolphins and Cardinals, squeaking the playoffs at 9-8. You can do that. That's possible.
Sure.
Probably need to get to 10 wins, to be honest. But sure, maybe you get to 9-8 and you squeak in. What is that doing? Like, what do we think the outlook is? Because the point of this is to win the Super Bowl, right? And does anyone actually believe this team, in any variation, is capable of doing that? If you play the third quarter like you did against the Cowboys every game, sure. But that's the exception to the rule at this point.
Yeah.
By far.
By the way, Arizona, this is where we're at now. We're talking about Arizona versus the Niners. Arizona gets at Seattle next week, at Minnesota, home against Seattle. They then get the Patriots and Carolina, the Rams and the Niners. Yeah. Are they getting to 10? Sure seems like they're getting to 10 to me.
No question.
They're getting the Patriots Panthers. I mean, it's a little bit in question. I'm not arguing that it's not entirely out of the...
Listen. I don't mean to be incredibly... Our brand...
Our brand is sour.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Anyone who's followed us for a while, you know we've been very critical of this 49ers season, but we've been pointing things out this season.
None of this shit seems new to us. That's the issue. And so maybe we're taking a little bit of a victory lap on. I don't see it, Jim.
I'm not sure about that one, Jim. Early and often that there were glaring issues with offensive line protection and run game and Debo not looking right and the defense having a lack of depth, special teams. And we point these things out and maybe early in the year it sounds like we're being hypochondriacs and all of these things are just, overblown. And now you get to this and you're like, no, they're still doing it week 10. And in these other seasons, where you get to this point, the 49ers have figured something out. They start off slow and then the offensive line, the run game starts going. That's usually what does it. The run game starts humming.
Weather cools down. It starts to become more physical, smash mouth football. Yep.
Yes. And they didn't look anywhere near like they were running the ball where I've seen them run it in years past. They just don't, it doesn't feel like they can lean on that in the same way. And I don't know what the answer is. Here's the thing.
They leaned on it at the beginning of the year. Anything that they had at the beginning of this year was because Mason was single-handedly keeping the run game going. Now there was some Garendo involved there too. Don't get me wrong, but it's almost like an inverse season in that regard, to where they pounded the rock and had this big physical run game to start the year, and now they're trying to finesse their way to the finish line. And that's never a formula that's going to work. That just doesn't line up with temperatures, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't. It doesn't. You want to be extracting those body blows come November when every defense is tired. What the fuck happened today to the Niners? They lost on body blows.
I'm with you. I don't see it. I don't see the pieces. I don't see the depth. Listen, they're going into the hardest part of their schedule right now. And look at this. I mentioned it before. You got Ayuk out for the year, Hargrave out for the year. Nick Bosa suddenly has matching oblique injuries on the other side of his body.
Did the oblique he ain't playing?
It doesn't sound like he's playing next week. Trent Williams played at 65 to 70% on a bad ankle, and that's what he admitted he felt like. Yeah, which he was limping out there before his warm up before this game. Christian McCaffrey said he needs to get everything back to normal, and then said some plays I feel great, some plays and then he switched the topic. Debo doesn't look like he has any juice left. George Kittle didn't play in this game against a Seattle team that he loves playing because he had a hamstring injury. He doesn't miss games very easily because he's always going through something.
And they did miss week 3.
Right, but they are aching, and they're going into the two hardest games of their schedule.
Yep.
And I don't know how you're going to get out of that and say, oh, we're going to be in a better situation than before. I feel like this thing is cooked, and maybe it's not. And I know we've asked that question many times, but I don't think they have a ceiling. That third quarter is their ceiling, but they don't have that gear to say, like the Warriors did, you know, where they were just turned on in the third quarter. They can't just click it into gear, you know?
We were talking to Marcus Thompson in the locker room today, and he was like, it reminds me a lot of those late-stage Warriors. And I'm like, except for the fact that the late-stage Warriors actually could turn it on.
Right.
Like, say what you will about, you know, the drama and the nastiness of the final year of KD in Oakland. But at least every now and again, those motherfuckers decided that they were the greatest team to ever grace the court and put it on somebody. They just didn't do it very often because, you know, that requires effort. And the effort isn't very much fun when you can just sit around and get high. So, like, anytime the Niners, they did that once. They've had one third quarter. The Warriors had, like, 25 that year. They have one. And it was against the Cowboys, who, when we talk about teams removed from context, might be the worst in the NFL. Like, I mean that earnestly.
Yeah, no, genuinely.
Like, if the Cowboys played the Jaguars, I'm not sure I'm not taking Jacksonville. I'm not sure. Enjoy Monday Night Football, everybody. Let me ask you a question, Jake. Do you like making money?
I do.
Okay. I think we put all of our money on Packers -1.5 for next Sunday.
I will never bet on a game that I'm covering.
Right. No, we don't have to cover it. We're going to quit our jobs and just make money off of this.
Okay. Well, sure.
I'm just saying.
I thought where you were going with that was to bet it all on the Chargers to win the Super Bowl.
Well, we also love that bet at +3,500. Love it. Can't get enough of it. By the way, I do think that might also be part of this general that's going on, where Jim Harbaugh's out here just living like only he can. And when he says, who's got it better than us, you're thinking to yourself, nobody. And you feel it in your soul.
Dude, it's incredible where he's like catching balls from Herbert before the game. He's just slapping him around like a lunatic. He is a lunatic, let's be clear. And I mean that in a complimentary sense. Harbaugh's out of his mind. He's insane. And it's beautiful because I don't think anyone has ever loved the sport of football more than Jim Harbaugh does.
No, he's lost it.
He's out of his mind, and it's great because everyone is like, oh, we just – hell yeah, we're in on this. And Herbert is absolutely slinging it, and that defense is humming, and it's really impressive. And the 49ers are like, well, we've been doing this thing for a long time, and we are tired, and it's cold out. We got out of bed a little cranky and sore. And now it's the middle of the season and we kind of suck, but let's keep going, you know?
And then you watch Harbaugh down there where the sun is still shining and it's like, man, they're having fun. And Justin Herbert's just slanging that thing and it's Ladd McConkey and Will Dissly, they're doing it with a ragtag gang, and they're
He's like sort of revived Quentin Johnston's career, even though he still has brick hands.
Yeah, well, he's catching some touchdowns with those bricks. I mean, it is, yeah. I will say, shouts to Woodpit 420. The Sharks are kind of fun this year. Jake, you been watching the Sharks?
I have not been watching the Sharks, but it is about to be Sharks time. The thing is, I really need to just get the Sharks calendar in my phone. That's what it is, because otherwise I don't
easily
know when the games are.
Easily done. They play tomorrow night.
Start watching Macklin Celebrini and
tomorrow it's my Red Wings against the Sharks. My Red Wings only because I have the hat. But also Warriors play at the Clippers tomorrow. And I'm on KNBR from 2 to 6. These are all the things that happen tomorrow. Huzzah. Can we do some ass slaps here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking an ass slap on George Kittle's the most important player on the offense. And
can you just be clear to our audience?
An ass slap is you did a great job, you get an ass slap.
Thank you.
You do a bad job, you get a helmet, you get a helmet hit. You know? Someone's like, get your head right. You get hit in the helmet. Do a great job, you slap some ass. Football's weird.
I did see Amik Robertson of the Lions actually get the shit beat out of him by his own teammates after he had an incredible hit earlier today, and he was like, stop. He's like, stop hitting me. But sorry, go on.
No, I'm taking one on Kittle. Not only have I been adamant that because he's the number one man-to-man beater, because he's Purdy's go-to in the red zone, and because he is so vital in the run-blocking game that he was the most important player on this offense, sure looked at today. I also, when we finally got the inactives today, I'm sitting in line waiting to park the car, and you're like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I had seen earlier in the day that Saubert was sick, and I'm like, so they're going to be rolling out Tonjes and Braden Willis, who they've been trying to get rid of but can't. They're losing by 3, and then they lost by 3. So I'm taking an ass slap on that one. Do you have any ass slaps for this one?
I don't know, man.
I mean,
I don't know.
I think you nailed the 9-8 thing. I think you were all over it.
Oh, I do. I'll take a pre ass slap on the death of this team being the Buffalo Bills, because I have said that since basically the schedule came out, and I still so firmly believe it. And the Bills just beat the Chiefs, and I just feel it in my soul that maybe they beat the Packers. And then I don't think they're going to be the Packers, but I'm saying maybe. I think they
better
can
not. Maybe. I'm about to put a mortgage on it.
Okay. Maybe they beat the Packers. I don't think they're going to beat the Packers. And I think they go in and say, all right, well, we're going to go on the road in this tough game in Buffalo. We win here. We got a little juice. The rest of the schedule, we can beat the Bears. We can beat the Dolphins. You know, we can win our two divisional games. Right. And then I just think they just get throttled by Josh Allen, because I can't fathom any other way for that game to go.
Correct. So no, they'll get smoked.
I will also take an ass slap for the fact that I tend to couch my columns a little more carefully with, you know, my headlines. And I said the 2024 49ers don't have another gear. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they do. I think there's a higher ceiling, but I don't think they have the gear to really shift into reaching that ceiling. I don't think they've proven anything to us. They've given us no reason to believe that's what they're capable of. And I stand by it. And if they prove us wrong and they go on a run, great, because then we'll be covering some fun football. I would love it.
Yeah, no, this is not the way that we want to spend our Sunday nights. No. Let's be clear about that. We enjoy the conversation and the camaraderie for sure, but like, it's more fun to talk about good football. Correct. Say what you will, even if they lost that game, it would have been great if it was good football. It wasn't good football.
Also, listen, for all the Kyle criticism, we've criticized Kyle plenty. How many times have we talked about how like a cool thing the 49ers have done in years past? There hasn't been like the new wrinkles and, oh, the 49ers are doing something cool. It all feels like stagnant swamp water.
I wonder what that's about. I mean, maybe we just straight up ask Kyle, like, What happened to all the cool stuff that you guys used to do? How do I appropriately ask that question? Because, like, honestly, I want to go about it and say exactly that. Like you guys used to do cool shit.
Right. What happened? How do you feel the offense has evolved? What's your most exciting rip? I don't know. It's hard to get good questions.
You know, dismissive of us peons. You know, and this is a great point here. You know, good DCs are just sitting on routes. Yeah, absolutely. And good DCs know, as we talked about all week, if you joined us, like, hey, they're going to throw it hot anytime you blitz with an overload. So just save that for situations where you need them to throw it short. Any second and long, third and long, overload blitz, guaranteed. And the Niners have shown no proclivity to change.
How they did today in the first half, at least. I genuinely did see some
better.
You think
they slid? You think they slid?
I saw them handle one excellently in the first half, and I was really impressed. They genuinely picked it up. McCaffrey slid in and picked up. They really did hand it off really well, and I was impressed with that.
We'll find out. The tape won't lie tomorrow morning.
But they couldn't run the ball, and once that happened, they just got stagnant. And look, like, despite all this, sure, they could have won. They were very close to winning this.
Wouldn't have felt good, though. It would have been somehow a more dour take than the Tampa Bay take, which we got kind of roasted for. And I'm like, did you watch the same football game? They sucked. They weren't good. Oh, they had all these yards. The fuck do I care?
They just haven't played a good game. I don't want to be just like ripping this team every single week, but it is brutal watch. Like, at the end of the day, this is entertainment, and they are not entertaining for the most part, unless it's Juwan Jennings going absolutely insane and just fighting off four guys.
You know what they are? They're the inverse Seahawks. They never won the Super Bowl. Seahawks won one. And then the Seahawks have this general proclivity to just make something out of nothing late in games. Like, when the Niners had the ball and they get that first down, I'm like, oh, these people think this game is over. And it has merely just begun. The Seahawks they'll find a way, and sometimes they'll lose and sometimes they'll win, but they always find a way to make it really interesting. And the Niners are doing that now, but it's always to make it the worst kind of interesting for them. When do they ever come from behind? No, but they'll blow a lot of leads.
I have a question for you. Where do you think they are at if they had not blown that first game to the Rams? Do you think that sort of opened up something in them where they became more vulnerable to that? Huh. Or they would have come out of that game and said, wow, we pulled that off. We know we can do it. I know that's very coach speaky, but just to get sort of galaxy brained here, if they back in that game won it, would they have collapsed, you know, to the Cardinals? Would they have figured it out? Would they be closing these games? I'm just curious if you think that matters at all, or if they'd be in the same spot.
It's so difficult, right? I mean, that's the butterfly effect of it all. It feels like the Cardinals loss was separate from the Rams loss. Yeah. The Rams loss was a deep catastrophe in all phases, right? And that was bluntly Sean McVay saving the good stuff for late with the let's attack Devondre Campbell, which, by the way, Brian Grubb did the same thing today. But I don't know. The Cardinals loss, that just felt like they beat the shit out of them instead. It didn't feel mental. It didn't feel intellectual. I do believe that Arizona was a well-coached team in that game, and that's the reason they had a chance. But in the end, they're just like, what if we use James Conner and pounded the goddamn rock? And they're like, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And the Niners are like, please stop doing that. So,
you know what? It feels like the Warriors fighting for the play-in tournament. That's sort of...
Yeah, well, who are going to be the Sacramento Kings to ensure that the play-in tournament ends after two quarters of basketball? Okay, we're going to answer Yaffe's comment here. He has now asked us many times why Pearsall wasn't in the game in the beginning. He did. He was in the game to start, and then they rotated in Conley because they rotate wide receivers.
Yeah.
It really, there's nothing nefarious or anything about it. Conley's a great blocker. They wanted to run the ball on that drive. They took Pearsall out. It's not absurd to play Chris Conley. It would have been absurd if we saw Ronnie Bell, but they played Chris Conley. And Debo and Pearsall had a rotation, and the one guy who was always on the field was Juwan Jennings. So, yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions we want to take before we close this absolute sick stream out?
Yeah, I got a couple to start up here. Griffin, these are sometimes comments, right? You know, it's a comment section, so most of the time they adhere to the title and just have a comment. Griffin saying, this is because Sorensen was calling soft plays at the end. There is a theory, I'm not sure if it has a name, about the 3 or 7 and how teams attack and how teams defend when they know that they need either a field goal or a touchdown, and that it is almost more advantageous for a team to just need the field goal than it is for them to need a touchdown because of the way that the opposition calls the game and then the way that you defend that. Because if you are having to defend everything,
psychology,
if you're having to defend up until your own 40-yard line, then you actually play some real defense. When you have to defend up to your own goal line, now you changed your entire psychology.
It's why the prevent defense is like psychotic, where you just play and then you allow like a free 12 yards.
But the idea is that you don't allow a free 60 and or a 360, which would be even cooler. Someone just spinning up in the air. But I had no problem with the plays that were called. I didn't. The issue is you don't have the pass rush because Bosa was on the sidelines. And you had two situations where you ended up in man-to-man defense, and Geno Smith adroitly recognized it and ran. And his first run was impressive. And his second run was not as impressive, but Devondre Campbell made it look pretty good. So I actually didn't have a problem with the defense Sorensen called because you're not spying Geno Smith. Yeah. You're just not doing it. You have any issue with it?
No. No, I got to watch back on tape and see if it was worse, but I actually thought the pass rush was one of the better pass rush games even without Bosa, and obviously people wanted him to throw blitzes, and there's a place for that, but I would also argue they've been pretty poor when they blitz, and Lenore in coverage is probably more valuable than Lenore blitzing, given how they just don't – their blitzes are pretty – mediocre
because their pass rush is mediocre because they're just they're just running into a gap,
but it looks it looks pretty obvious, like they don't do a lot of the overload things other teams do where they
but rush, they don't have they don't have those kind of players that can play in multiple different spots. You can do it with one guy, Warner, but you never line up Warner. It's a defensive end, so they never have to respect him over there. Like, everybody is pretty straightforward. That's not going to change because that's a personnel issue, and it shouldn't change because most teams don't play that way. And that the Niners, how about this? It will never change because Kyle Shanahan will never allow his defense to be inherently aggressive. He'll never let it happen because that would make his life harder for offense. And this will go back to it. Grant Cohn and I can disagree about many things throughout the days. I like Grant as a person, but we can disagree on football plenty. But Grant did make an incredible point a couple of years ago. Kyle never refers to the overall team. He always just talks about his offense and the defense as another entity altogether and special teams as this other thing. And I understand why he does that, but that doesn't excuse why he does that. And he did it today. It should be noted. Go back in the press conference transcript. Watch. He was deflecting blame from his offense. And this is how he thinks. And that's not good head coach behavior. I've written it before. I'll say it again right here. Woodpit 420 coming in on the same thing. Thought we'd win because they needed a TD. Yeah. That comes into the same mentality and level. Geno made a play. The Niners didn't make plays. They had many opportunities to put up more than 17.
Niners could have closed it out. They did not.
Totally.
And it was
totally.
Kyle's offense that did not close it out.
The 40, sorry, got a bad voice.
Warner's
in general.
Play is dropping. The 49ers 2024.
You think that's true?
I don't really agree. I do think there were a couple plays at the end where Warner, in the one where Geno hit Njigba, I want to say on the last drive, and right. Warner jumped. I watched it again, and I think Warner was in between because he was covering, and then he saw Geno roll out, and it was like a third and four or something, and he had to account for Geno as a runner, and so he was in between, and you know it got soft behind him, and Geno slipped it in. And also, Smith and Jigba's a really damn good receiver.
He's so good. By the way, all three of them are really good. I know that we go in on Metcalf.
No. Geno had he beat Renardo Green multiple times this game on mostly just on outs, but
and I like Renardo Green in this game. He was good.
I do too.
They have a really interesting passing concept offense, and they have three really, really good wide receivers. Imagine what happens when they get a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, like there's something there if they want to go get a quarterback beyond Geno. Like there's something there to really work with. So
yeah.
Trade for Michael Penix. Finally, dank. We're doing the exact same thing with the same old overpaid players. Couldn't agree more. Nothing more to say on that on my end. Anything to add, Jake?
No. I think, and as much as we are dour and critical of this team, the front office told you what they thought of this roster at the trade deadline when they, you know, panic bought a defensive tackle who is inactive today for a future seventh round pick.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know what that trade was.
Wait, even in the moment, we're like, that's not good. Like, that doesn't, like, you're doubling down. No, oh, well, we're getting so many guys back from injury. Like, and you know what? Yetur Gross-Matos, not a bad pickup. Like, I get that. But.
Right. Hmm. But what you needed was, if you wanted to be dead serious, you would say, hey, New York Jets, your season's over. Give us one of your three linebackers.
Yeah.
Give us one of them. We'll give you a fifth round pick or a fourth round pick. Right. Because the Jets were in sell mode. They all played for Robert Saleh. You could probably get one of those guys because they're
give
way
us the
more
rights
cooked.
To Robert Saleh.
Who is
Robert, yeah, exactly. He's hanging out with the Packers. Robert Saleh is such a good guy that he's like, you know what? I'm gonna fly to Green Bay, Wisconsin in November. Because I don't want to spend any time with my prodigious family.
He took a week or two off, but listen, that's his best man, Matt LaFleur, best man. I think each other's weddings.
Yeah. Well, he used to be an offense guy.
Yeah. At the end of the day, old team and an old team that has always been top heavy. But I think when you look back at like the 2021 draft, even a little bit of 2022 and the COVID draft, like you missed on so many spots that even though the rookies this year are good, you don't have the depth because you missed. And so you spend on like Javon Hargrave because Javon Kinlaw didn't work out. And Javon Hargrave was on the downside. It's the Dee Ford contract pretty much all over again. So you end up in a situation where you pay a lot of guys and it's not working out. And, you know, they're 5-5. Oh, they could turn around. I'm over.
No, I'm over them. They haven't shown any heart. They haven't shown any fight.
Show some heart. Show some heart.
I don't see it. I just don't see these intangible things. And that's why it was so frustrating. Like Juwan Jennings is out here. Like I will do this by myself and couldn't fire up the defense enough. You know, like maybe there is something to complimentary football, but like that should have been a season changing moment. And it was completely overshadowed by just a big fart of a drive for the defense.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Geno Smith made some great plays. That's not a sentence that you say when you're trying to, like, well, Geno got us. What could we do? Geno? You lose to fucking Lamar. You lose to Mahomes. Like, I get that. Like, fair enough. Those are great players. Those are MVPs, you know? They lose this upcoming week. You go, well, LaFleur's just, he's awesome. You know, they got great wide receivers and loves ascending. That's why they paid him all this money. You lose to Josh Allen. It's like, I get it. Oh, we lost to Geno. What? How's that an acceptable excuse? Hey, we lost to the league definition of average.
You know what there is to look forward to If it's not this week, it'll be next week. Thursday. The schedule might be earlier again.
What does that mean?
The schedule. The 49ers, when they went to the East Coast to play the Bucks, they started their schedule early in the day.
Hey, Jake, I have some bad news for you. There's 0% chance I'm showing up to the 49ers facility on the Thursday. That would just so happen to be Thanksgiving.
Correct. That's fair. Well, maybe this week. Maybe this week it'll do it.
Probably not. I do think we should be excited for Sharks hockey. It's not good hockey, but it is entertaining. So
the Warriors are interesting, even though Steph's knee is apparently exploding with bursitis.
Is that the official designation, exploding with bursitis?
I believe that's a phrase. Folks, we may have to get into a little bit more Warriors as the season goes, because this thing is needles pointing down. We're not going anywhere on Niners.
No. We'll still talk Niners, but we might start sliding in like, hey, have you seen this defensive tackle from Boise State?
Oh, yeah. Folks,
those might start getting in there.
Draft season's going to be sick.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time with that.
Earnestly. Well,
definition on sick. We say it's a 49ers and other things podcast. The other things might have to take over here soon. We might have to change sicko's color in the upper corner there.
They're talking about art exhibits we've seen. I saw this new film.
Oh, dude, we could definitely do film corner.
Real film corner. All right, folks, let's get out of here.
Sorry, get this one. And any comments on the Giants FO being a nostalgia trip run by a cooked up KMBR caller?
I don't know what that means.
I know what every part of that sentence means. And any comments about it? You bet I got comments about it. 2-6 tomorrow on the leader. Also, you can check any of the podcast feeds, because I went in on Randy Wynn on Friday night.
Oh, no.
He was a lovely man. A legitimately lovely man, a good baseball guy. But it's like, it's just remembering some guys, front office edition. It's brutal.
Speaking of which, keep naming some guys in the comments.
Yeah, name your special teams, guys.
Yeah, even if it's just start naming any
guys.
The most obscure player you can possibly name.
Okay, we're done. We're done.
We're gonna close it out.
My voice is gone. I'm so cooked. I got Debo Samuel voice. It's over.
All right. On that note. See you, folks. We appreciate you.